Does anyone play the trumpet? No? Okay, I was going to say, next week, you can show us how to proclaim. Louis Armstrong once called his trumpet the preacher, right? Because it told the story about how the song came to resolution in jazz, a broken melody, and he'd follow the notes back to where the melody came back together and tell that story. And in many ways, that's what Jesus calls us to when we are gathered together, to tell the story of our faith and recognize that what we see in Scripture is not always what we see in our lives. And that brokenness, we need to tell that story once more about how we come back to wholeness and God. And so as we do that today, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your continued forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for the rain on such a day as this. Lord, let it come and accomplish its purpose as we are here giving you our praise and our worship. And let this not be the only time this week, but the beginning of the week that we start pointing to you and your supreme worth. Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we were standing here and we had baptisms and confirmation, and it was a joyful time. That celebration continues today. The confirmands, you have Daniel and Darren and Jacob and Kate and Madison. Continue to lift them in prayers. They're going forth not just into the school building to share that faith, but they're going forth to South Dakota for our high school mission trip that is leaving in July. They're going to our stay mission trip here in early July with the middle school, and they're going to camp. Camp week is June 13th. If you know of anyone interested, we're still sending kids to camp. And in different times beyond that, if you are unable to make it, we'll do camp this fall together again as well. But our confirmants had made faith theirs. They've made it firm so that they can go forth and battle. And likewise, it's what we do each week, to keep our faith firm to go forth. This passage today talks about being rooted and continuing to live in Christ. Colossians, this whole letter is Paul writing to a people that, writing to a people that is always battling the larger story of Rome. It's actually a subversive letter to this pagan and beginning to be Jewish group, figuring out what it means to follow Jesus. And so this passage today started in verse 6, but if you look at the verse right before that, it says, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." And that firmness, that understanding that though everything may be swaying, we can be anchored in the truths in this story is one that gets us through week to week together as a community. You see, Paul writes this glorious Christ hymn about Christ being the center of creation and the power behind everything in Colossians. And then in this passage, he says, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, right? So he's saying, just as you have said, the emperor Nero at the time is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. It's a political statement to say that you're going to follow Jesus, whatever it means. Continue living in Jesus. What does it mean to be rooted in Jesus? What does it mean to have that be the primary calling of our lives? We have so many other wonderful ones. Yesterday we celebrated a husband and a wife in marriage, and from there you have mother and father and friend and sister and daughter. We have all these wonderful callings. But when we say yes to Jesus as Lord, our primary calling is being that child of God, of being loved, being rooted and established in this faith that calls us forth into the world. We talked over the last couple months about being a part of that forest. That metaphorical forest where you have to die to being the seed so that you can become the plant. In the same way, God calls us to die to being of this world, to not letting desires rule our hearts, to not letting our small understanding to dictate where we go, but to die to that and receive from God the abundant life that calls us forward. To live together, connected down to the eternal waters of Jesus, of eternal life. To be connected into the vine. To remain in Jesus so that his love remains in us. And to have those roots go out. We talked about how the roots are as much above and below the ground, right? What you see below is there as well. And how we need to work on those roots because our roots intertwine. In a healthy forest, trees talk to each other. The roots that are there, they intertwine through the mycelial network and they send messages. And a multi-layered forest is so much healthier than something that's just transplanted because the roots go deep, they go out. And so today, as we see what he says, rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith, friends, are you rooting yourself in your faith? Are you spending time underground where no one sees, being in the scriptures, being in prayer, thinking of others, turning your attention to that which will sustain you when everything above ground is chaotic? Because the reality is, it's not just enough to grow roots and move on. There's creatures down there eating the roots. And probably within the next week, trillions of them are going to come out after 17 years of feasting on them. And they will let you know it. Get some earplugs if you need. Fishing's going to be great. Oh my goodness, it's going to be awesome. As in awe, as in a spectacle to behold. And if you're terrified of them, God be with you. But the cicadas, they've been down there for 17 years feasting on the root systems and other things. And if you're not continually putting out roots, things in the dark will grab a hold of them. Funguses, other things. And this is why a lot of trees tip over. The roots stop going down and the wind comes and they become disconnected. One of the problems of our American culture has been unfettered upward mobility. It's an amazing thing that we have the opportunities not to be constrained to a class. But with that movement often comes geographic movement. And many of us have moved in our lives, and that can be an amazing, wonderful calling. But it's also good to remember the little way of staying located. In his book, Little Way of Ruthie Lemming, Rod Dreher talks about that tension in our world. Where he followed what everyone said, to follow your dream, go to where you're called. And he became a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist in Philadelphia, having been in New York and writing scripts and he made a living as a writer. But when his sister contracted cancer and it became terminal, he started going home to Louisiana, back in the country. And he realized this grand tale of American success did not translate to those neighborhoods. They resented him. He had left home. He was no longer able to connect to their conversations. And in through the process of listening to the stories of his sister, who had no renown, but took the time to volunteer in sports as coaches, to volunteer here and to help out over there, he saw that she sustained that community in an unceremonious way that would never be on the billboard in New York or on Hollywood. But yet he saw this little way of her being a spiritual giant, undiscovered by the world. And so he found himself challenged to move back home, to put out those same roots once again. Now, he does a great job of saying that that's not the way for everybody. If you've studied Christianity over a time, you'll find the simple way, you'll find the Benedictine way, the different paths we take in following Jesus. There are many different ones, but they all unify in following Jesus and going forward towards them, much like a bicycle. If you get on a bike and you try to go backwards, it doesn't work. If you try to sit still, you tip over. It needs movement. And so the little way and the simple way and the radical way, whichever way it is called upon you, we need to be rooted in it. Whether it is a placeness of a community such as Richmond and New Paris and beyond, or whether it is in a calling which takes you forth to new communities, are you willing to make that home and to put your roots there? As you put them in Christ, realizing he calls us all to be a part of the communities we are in. All the way back in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. If you read that letter, it is a letter to exiles going to Babylon and saying you need to go there and succeed because you will bless others through it. And realizing wherever you go, it is not just about you, but this community you are rooted with. The placeness of where you are, the place you call home while we are sojourners here on earth, awaiting our heavenly home. And so this making firm, continuing to live in Jesus and being built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I think it's just a natural fruit that comes forth when you're rooted in Christ. You begin to see, wow, we are so blessed. Upstairs in the Studio 252 room, I saw a sign that said that being thankful is seeing that what I have is enough. Gratitude makes what I have be enough. Or another way of looking at it, gratitude is telling good news about what is. It's telling the good news about what is. It is very easy for me to go forth and say, oh, my neighbors, they keep leaving their trash cans out. Or, oh, the people down the street, they keep littering, or they don't take care of their home. Oh, this happened to me. But you could very easily tell a different story. You say, oh, my neighbors left their trash cans out. I have a chance to talk to them and bring it back. Oh, my neighbors, they littered. I have a chance to pick that up and have a conversation about what we can do. Oh, this happened to me. What an opportunity for me to share this love that overflows from a God who sustains. Because my circumstances don't need to dictate how rooted I get, because it is Christ we are rooted in, not just my feelings. Or as the perfect 10 tells us, let's not covet what is not ours, but let us be sustained by what God has given us. But the reality is, though we are rooted and built up, not all is smooth sailing. Not all is peachy keen. Not all is hunky-dory, or whatever phrase it is that you use. If you have a good phrase, I would love to know. It's fascinating to hear the ways in which we say it is all good and the different colloquialisms for that. So feel free to share those as it goes. But not all is good in the letters of Paul, because he's writing to people wrestling with what it means to follow Jesus in a world that is attacking that ideal. You have to remember, Rome was not neutral in this, right? In Rome, you had to say that Caesar was God. The good news of Caesar as Lord was proclaimed forth. And if you did not offer sacrifices and acknowledge Caesar to be so, your life could be at stake in the Roman imperial cult. But not just there, but also within. As people began to differentiate what it meant to follow Jesus versus following traditional Judaism, there started to be that tension. Paul plays it out in Galatians, and again here, he says to not be held captive through hollow and deceitful philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. You don't see it here, but the word he uses there is a homonym for synagogue. It's syllagogue. So he's kind of helping you see in the Greek text that, hey, do not continue to follow just what the rabbis taught in that Pharisaical model. I've been there, is what Paul is saying. There is a better way in Jesus. The same way that today, don't just follow the religiosity that you've been taught, but are you faithful and centering on Christ? Not just the traditions we received, but the path forward. The movement of unity of God's people being called means we may let go of certain traditions, because we're anchoring more deeply into the roots. Do you know what the term radical means? John Wesley was a radical. John Wesley was a radical because he went back to the early church. He read all of Christian history, and he saw the different expressions in it and learned from it. Rather than saying, oh, that's bad, I can't listen to it, he went through it all because he was being radical, meaning going to the root. Radical means finding the root. You may remember the math now. Can you find the radical? The root term. And so someone who is radical is someone who's trying to get to the root of what has been. And so John Wesley, our Methodist forerunner, was a radical to show us ways that we could continue to live as we are rooted in Christ. But we need to beware that there are these people, there are these ideas, there are these powers and principalities that threaten to uproot us and tell us it's better to be a boxed plant, to go forth. You can go anywhere you want if you just take your roots out of the ground. In fact, if you just chop things off, you can have the amazing presence wherever you go. You can be turned into furniture and everything else, and the metaphor begins to fall apart. But those are out there. It happens within church as much as the calls from without. I think in many ways, if you look at the culture around us, it is not secular. It has gone beyond that, has become pagan. The worshiping of sex, the worshiping of money, the worshiping of power. It is something that has become unfettered and unchallenged in our society. And the way people rationalize are things that will challenge you. If you are not aware and rooted in the Word of God, these basic principles, so-called, can pull you away from that which matters and sustains us in this world. There is always more to attack. We subject ourselves to it every time we turn on the television, and the story of what a good life is at the end of the next purchase of that commercial, because then you can be happy. But what Paul comes back and says, no. He says, it is in Christ. The fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In other words, it's not the Roman emperor. It was in Jesus. And you have been given the fullness of Christ, the head over every power and authority. And so he's playing out that Christ hymn, if you go back and read Colossians 1, 15 to 20, saying, oh my goodness, Jesus. He's not just who we talk about on Sunday and in our little devotionals we get in our emails or something we open up. He is the ruler of all. Are we inviting him into that position in each day of our lives? Does Jesus rule on your Tuesdays like he does on your Sunday mornings? This is what that Psalm 1 talks about. There are these ways, these evil ways that are out there, but when we are in God, we are rooted in our faith. We are like a tree by the water. Or Jeremiah, earlier, before that letter, talks about in Jeremiah 17, after talking about the pagan trees that are being planted on the hills to go worship because they're up high and everyone can look at them, versus being what he says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, Jeremiah dealt with what we still need to deal with, and that's sin. Sin, that redefinition of good and bad that our society is constantly producing. Sin, those actions we make when we decide we know more than God and we rip apart our relationships. Sin, that which abounds in this earth, we must deal with it. We know God deals with it justly on the cross, and we give him praise for it. We know that we're coming to a great story end when God comes again and heaven and earth are realigned and God judges the world. And that is good because he deals with all of the unmitigated evil that has happened. It will be set right. We have an answer. Here and now we tarry. We wait. And as we wait, stay rooted. Stay in God. Stay in Christ so that it does not blow you all around. And so it goes on, Colossians, Paul in his reading, in his writing, continues to wrestle with what it means. And he says that it's not just a circumcision where the covenant was formed by a removal of a piece of flesh. No, it is in the baptism. It is in dying to that whole life of being that seed planted in the ground so the roots may go, that you may be transformed for all to thrive. It is the whole life transfer, not just the addition of the law, but this whole being under the grace of God. Because when you're rooted in that, you're going to produce fruit like that, and your neighbors will thrive. It is all in Jesus, being baptized with him, dying with him, being risen with him. We got to stay with the story until the resurrection happens. And he says in verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Friend, we're not here to talk about how to be better, though that will happen. We're not here to talk about how the bad becomes good. We are here because the dead become alive in Jesus. We are here because those areas of your life that you thought you had to run from, maybe those places you have been that you have messed up so bad, that with the hope of Jesus in your life, you can return and be a light. That you can bring new life wherever you go as you are rooted in Christ, and you can be alive. And he didn't just stop there. He goes on in 14 and 15 and really flips the world on its head. Because Rome, what it did is it used to humiliate those who opposed them. It said, you're going to challenge us, we're going to strip you naked, we're going to beat you, and we're going to humiliate you by you carrying your own execution instrument through the town, and you're going to be there until you die and suffocate. And Jesus took that up, and he humiliated them. He took away the power of evil. Its only thing is violence, and violence leads to death, and Jesus defeated death so that we may live, so that we may not fear the evil that can be done, because we know that God is with us, that God's love is for us. And by the power of the cross and the empty tomb, the Holy Spirit is within. So, how do we live that out here? If we are here and now, or in whatever context you find yourself in, and online, wherever you're worshiping with us, how do you remain rooted and alive in Jesus? I think a lot of it is just reading the Bible, knowing this story, and seeing that this isn't just an accidental statement he is making, but a continuation of the beginning. In verses 9, he says, for this reason, since the first day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in this inheritance. Friend, that's good news. That is the news that you have received. That is the life you can go forth and live. But we all know it's not always that simple. Because we go forth fired up, but we haven't worked out our way, our little way, or our simple way, or our radical way. And so a few simple thoughts. Stay rooted. Stay rooted in the Word. Go home and read Colossians. You'll see in Paul's letters, he is constantly talking about how to live that holy life. And realize that when we go there, that we died to ourselves. And if we died to ourselves, then maybe, just maybe, when we see this and like, oh, Paul's crazy, maybe, just maybe, that's God saying, maybe you've got some heart work to do. Are we letting this form us more than we are trying to form the Word? And so allow the text to question you. so that you know where the roots need to go, so that you can grow forth. And don't let the text just question you. Let those questions spill over into every area of your life. Are you Christ-centered? Would someone look at your life and be able to make sense of it without mentioning Jesus? Is it possible to tell the story of your life without mentioning Jesus? It's a good indication of how deep our roots go. When you look at your life, is it flourishing? Maybe not. I don't mean, are you succeeding and your curriculum vitae is going wonderfully? I'm saying, are the people around you being blessed by your presence? Are you able to provide abundantly, though you may suffer in doing so? Another good question to know where you are rooted, where is home? Where are those places or spaces or people by which you go, ah, and just be before God to work out your faith and fear and trembling, to wrestle with what is going on in this world because there's a lot of crazy out there. Where is home? What is your way? John Wesley has the simple way of do no harm, do good, and attend to all the ordinances of God, fasting, reading the scriptures, Christian conversation, meeting together in public and private worship, doing good works, the works of mercy. That is our way as Methodists, and if you want to know more about it, we have a book out there I would love to get you on the three simple rules. What does your calendar and your wallet say about your roots? You have to remember, the roots are constantly growing, seeking sustenance as they go forth so that you can see what's going on. How are you scheduling your time? You have where you live. And so where you sleep, the people you're with, are you investing in them? Are you lifting them up? Are you discipling them and being led by them? You have where you work or where your hobbies are, where you serve. Are you building up those relationships? Do people see fruit in your life of the roots that go deep and the life of Christ in you? And then you have those spaces you get to choose. For some of us, we wish we had a 28-hour day so we could choose something, it feels like. But the reality is you all have spaces to choose. Do you choose to force yourself to deal with the uncomfort of these questions and meet with a small group and give people the permission to say, hey, where is sin reigning in your life? Do you have that? And when you look at your wallet, we spend money on surviving. We spend money on investing. We spend money just to spend it on what we feel we want. Have you brought that before God about where your roots are going? Once you get beyond the survival of providing the basic needs and you've invested in your house and in different ways of getting away, how do you choose to be in relationship with that? To give to God, to spread it around? Because the reality is we are called to continually to be about the next generation. Our lives need to keep growing so that we can produce more seeds so that it's about the next generation. If you look at a forest, it's constantly about survival, about growing into the light. If you go to a forest, it's amazing. You can see the story. You can see the story of when trees fell down because they go like this. Because trees and plants are perfectly calculated to grow towards the light. They go to where the light is so that they can thrive. Friends, are you going towards the light of Christ in your life? Does your life bend in weird ways because that's where God's love has shone? Are you allowing yourself to do so, not just so that you look wonderful in the forest, but so that you can produce seed, that your roots can sustain other trees? John Wesley, in talking about this old-time religion of Methodism, he said, if family religion be neglected, if care not be taken for the rising generation, will not the present revival of religion in a short time die away? And even though he established all of these preaching homes and preached over 40,000 sermons, he said this. He said, what avails public preaching alone? Though we could preach like angels, what is better? Spend an hour a week with the children in every large town. Whether you like it or not, He was aware. Talk with them anytime you see any of them at home. Pray in earnest with them. Friends, that is our calling, to continually pass along. And what's great about these seeds, it's also the older, the younger, whoever we come across, all of us can be planted in Christ and sustained by one another. And so John Wesley, thinking about this Catholic nature, this universal nature of the Spirit that calls us forth, said this: keep an even pace, rooted in the faith once delivered to the saints, and grounded in love, true Catholic love, till thou art swallowed up in love forever and ever. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the ways in which you have called us to grow. We thank you for the way in which your light has shone that made us the unique creatures we are, bent towards your light, our roots seeking your water. God, let us be alive in that. Realize you've called us to such a place as this, to such a time as now, that you're not sending anyone else to answer the call that you've called us to, but we can go forth, that we can alter history that others may survive and thrive in your love. God, I want to lift up the prayer of the Apostle Paul, who when writing to Ephesus, that great word of the church, he said this: when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen.